IsraelScene.com. Today's program comes from Bet Agron International Press Center in downtown Jerusalem. This is Yoram, and we are speaking with David Bedin, the founder of the Israel Resources News Agency, whose office is here in Bet Agron. David, how did you come to the work that you do? You mentioned you were involved in social work at some point.
Yeah, well, it actually, a funny thing happened to me in an airport in Addis Ababa. I was sitting in Addis Ababa about to make some home visits to families of Ethiopian Jews I was working with, and there was a hijacking on the ground of a Somalian airliner, and I sat next to, in the coffee shop, a journalist from the New York Times. He says, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I'm here to make home visits. You're here to, that's what a social worker does." He says, "What?" "Yeah, well, hut visits. My sister said hut visits." "Okay, hut visits." And he wrote a story about me in the New York Times about what I was doing, that I was working with Ethiopian Jews up in Sfat and, you know, visiting their families in Ethiopia, which is a natural thing to do. You go and visit people, right? Well, when I got back to Israel, and this was in the New York Times, all three American major American TV networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, and the new CNN, all contacted me. Could they visit Ethiopian Jews, because nobody else was doing that at the time. I said, "Sure, why not?" And I started taking them around and this and that, and one journalist after another, until one journalist said, "David, what you're doing in Sfat, no one is doing in Jerusalem." I said, "What are you talking about? There's the Israeli government. They must be doing it." He said, "No, no one is doing this. No one is reaching out to the press and taking them around and giving them the inside story of what makes Israel click." So that journalist who interviewed me from a major American magazine helped me open up this office, Israel Resource News Agency, which eventually opened up at the press center at Beit Agron on December 1st, 1987. Now, when it opened up, we were going to have the focus of the office deal with Israel's social issues. A week later, the Intifada, the PLO uprising broke out. My rabbi says the Intifada put me into business, because all of a sudden we were there. I live in Efrat, which area that was liberated by Israel in 1967, just outside of it's suburban Bethlehem, basically. And you can also find it in Genesis 37:12. There's many ways people say, "Where is Efrat?" 37:12 in Genesis, Bereishit. And anywho, so I became a point person for the press to find out what is happening inside Judea, Samaria, Gaza, Jerusalem, inside the kishkas of Israeli soldiers, victims of terror, etc. And the rest is history. I've been doing this ever since at the Beit Agron Press Center.
As we spoke before, the major stories you're dealing with now, the one that seems very eminent and important to understand is the Iranian story. Do you have any more that you can add on what's expected, what you think is going to happen, what you predict will be happening in the immediate future?
Well, in the Talmud, in the Tractate of Yoma, page 9, it mentions that there's going to be a great war towards the end of days between Rome and Persia, and weapons of mass destruction. They'll say mass destruction, but they say mass destruction without saying weapons of mass destruction. And what we see happening here is Iran gathering weapons which it wants to use against the entire Western world, and seeing the Palestinian Arabs as their proxies. And what they've set up in Lebanon, especially since Israel's retreat from there in May 2000, is a system of more than 12,000 missiles aimed at Israel, but their missiles are also aimed at the West. And the Iranians, working with various and sundry Islamic groups in North America and Western Europe, are everywhere. And there, when the rebellion happens, when the conflagration happens, everywhere in the West will be feeling it, and the Iranians have no qualms about what they're about to do. They've been well equipped by the Germans and by the Russians, but especially by the Germans. You'll see very little publicity about the German involvement for two reasons. Israel doesn't want to say anything against Germany because Germany has given Israel two nuclear submarines, which provide Israel with intelligence data on what's happening all over the Middle East, and the U.S. won't say too much because the German companies that have helped Iran's development are basically American on American-based companies. And there was something called the Timmerman Report, which came out in 1990 on this subject by Dr. Kenneth Timmerman from Collegeville, Maryland. It's still, you can see it on the web. It's not hard to find. Dr. Kenneth Timmerman about the Germany's involvement with financing weapons of mass destruction. I asked a question at the White House in August 2004. I came for a press conference with the, and I asked why is Bush not mentioning anything about the Timmerman report, in because so many people are doubting about the WMD in Iraq. The answer I got from his young press secretary is, "What is the Timmerman report?" So I had it sent to him by FedEx so that he could see it, but they still haven't responded. So there's a lot of interest in not having anyone talk about it, but that's really what's going on.
If you've, as you brought in this biblical reference, what is the next development that's prophesied in that context?
Well, the next development has to do with the Jews from around the world coming back to Israel. There's no question about it that the Islamic people are going to make it difficult for Jewish people to live side by side in the West. The Islamic incitement is going unreported in the West. Briefly, it went reported in September 2001. I happened to have been in New York when the World Trade Center was attacked and when the Pentagon was attacked. And there's a little bit of reportage then about the Islamic incitement, especially against the Jews. But it's something that will cause a greater immigration to Israel. Certainly we're seeing that in France. And we'll see it around the world.
Okay, David, a few minutes ago before we began recording, you pulled out two very interesting newspaper clippings from the recent past or the middle past from a few years ago. Could you tell us about those, please?
Sure. One, our news agency, Israel Resource News Agency, 6 years ago, uncovered the fact that the UJC, which is the United Jewish Communities, which is the umbrella organization of North American Jewry, was going to give the Isaiah Award for Peace to Yasser Arafat. A senior official in the Jewish agency in Jerusalem leaked it to me, and I publicized it. And after we publicized it, they had to cancel it. We had the copy of the award, everything like this, the award ceremony, everything that was going to happen, the 100 people invited to it. And the UJC's response was to hire a private detective to find out how we got our information, which they never found out. And they sent a guy here to Jerusalem, walked the halls, looked like a Groucho Marx kind of a figure, walking back and forth, what's going on. But ever since, our agency has been, the Israel Resource News Agency, has been disbarred or disqualified for speaking for any UJC group. No Jewish federation or Jewish organization will have us give a speech or a backgrounder about the Palestinian Arab situation because we embarrassed their establishment. But on the other hand, we may have saved them from a major embarrassment for the future. Wouldn't that be wonderful when Arafat died, to have it on CV, Isaiah Award for Peace from the organized Jewish community in North America? But he doesn't have it thanks to our agency's investigations.
Thank you, David. IsraelScene.com. This is Yoram. We're in the Beit Agron International Press Center, downtown Jerusalem, speaking with David Bedin from the Israel Resource News Agency. David, what in your opinion are the results of the withdrawal last year from Gaza?
First of all, Israel withdrew from Gaza in 1994, and not summer 2005. Well, that's something else. But in May 1994, Israel handed over Gaza to Arafat. And with a clear understanding, according to what Yitzhak Rabin said in his final speech in the Knesset, October 5th, 1995, that he had no problem with having the Jews stay in the area contiguous to Gaza. He called it a perfect arrangement because the Jews lived in a separate community and that didn't interfere with Palestinian Arab development. What happened last summer, the forcible removal of the Jews from the Katif area contiguous to Gaza and from four communities in Samaria, canceling their civil liberties, their human rights, their property rights, created a terrible precedent for Israeli jurisprudence, where the Israeli courts decided that Israel's political agendas overrode their human rights and civil liberties. It also endangered, this agency was putting out lots of material, how much this would endanger Israel's Negev region. Because from the Arabs' point of view, illegal settlements means the places they lost in 1948. If you look on a website, PalestineRemembered.com, you see how the Palestinian Arabs, the PLO, always talks about the Western Negev as the place that they want to bring their people back to. So, as a result, less than 6 months later, the daily barrage of artillery, with the Arabs using the Arab armed forces using the former Jewish communities as forward bases, as training bases, from which to attack Israel, has become a reality. Basically, the retreat, with the retreat, and it was very clearly a retreat, with the tails behind their legs, whatever the expression is the kind of thing that gave the Arabs the idea, the Palestinian Arabs, the idea that Israel, all you have to do is fire a few missiles and Israel will retreat. Is the Palestinian expectation in all their media is that Israel will retreat from the Negev and will eventually demilitarize the Negev and reduce Jewish settlement in the Negev, and that's exactly what's going on. The investment in the Negev is down, tourism in the Negev is down, and business in the Negev is down. It's a very prosperous area of Israel since the 1950s. So the Arabs are succeeding, and this is Ehud Olmert, Israel's new prime minister, is suggesting more retreats, and not realizing or not caring to realize that raises the expectations of Israel's adversaries.
When you talk about what's going on in the Negev, I've seen recently material put out by the Jewish National Fund on projects that are being developed in the Negev, not projects that are being folded up.
The United States government has made it very clear that they will invest in the Negev on condition that the Arabs and that the Bedouins benefit, not the Jews. And it doesn't matter how much money you put into the Negev or into the Galil, the question is, will Jews want to live there under such circumstances? And if you're there while you're under daily artillery barrage, there's a problem. And Israel has been hesitant to fire at the sources of the artillery barrage. The sources of the artillery barrage against Israel come from the United Nations Relief and Work Agency refugee camps, missiles fired during school hours from school buildings. If and when Israel responds to put an end to those attacks, hundreds if not thousands of Arab children will be killed. And the United Nations has good public relations people working for them. The implications are very serious. Jews being called child killers, and this has been something in Jewish history which has harmed the Jews over the years, and we're speaking just before Passover, and the implications are very clear.
What's going on in Gaza with UNRWA and its relationship to the Europeans?
What's most important is the relationship of the Palestinian Authority and UNRWA with the European Union and, unbelievably, with NATO. 2 years ago, I had the opportunity at in Geneva to interview European parliamentarians, part of their own Palestinian Initiative group, where they said, made it very, very clear that if Israel interferes with the sovereignty of Palestinian Arabs in Gaza, they will intervene with the European strike force to protect the Palestinian Authority. And the money that has been coming in unilaterally from the European Union to the Gaza, which, by the way, has created the first school systems since the Third Reich to prepare children to make war on the Jews. You can see their curriculum, very clear, www.edume.org, right there, very openly, planning the jihad, the holy war against Israel, financed not by Arab countries, but by Belgium, Finland, Holland, Italy, and France. And a major country playing a role in financing non-profit organizations for Palestinian independence is Germany. And that's what Israel has to deal with in the future. Were it not for the Iranian threat, Israel would be dealing right now with the European Strike Force, which wants to protect the Palestinian sovereignty.
IsraelScene.com. This is Yoram. We've been speaking with David Bedin, the notorious, well-known director of Israel Resources News Agency. We hope to have David back again on an ongoing, steady basis, weekly or monthly, talking about his investigative reporting. And until we meet again, David, thank you very much.
Okay, the most important thing is to follow our work at IsraelBehindTheNews.com. That's IsraelBehindTheNews.com. We try to give you factual material, documented material, so that you can use our material to actualize what is a theme of our agency, which is, let my people know. And people do not know. In the world of MTV, CNN, etc., people deal with sound bites as opposed to the in-depth issues of what's going on.
Thank you again, David. This is IsraelScene.com. We'll hear you, or you'll hear us, next time.